Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very good this day. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank all of you for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the function of union with the divine and the demonstration of truth. Listen as we discuss why a human without the truth is like a computer without the internet. In this show, we will explain how truth dispels error as light extinguishes darkness. We are exploring what Mary Baker Eddy said in Miscellaneous Writings on page 355, "Less teaching and good healing is today the acme of well done. A healing that is not guesswork, chronic recovery, ebbing and flowing, but instantaneous cure. This absolute demonstration of science must be revived." Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the truth of being. Swami, I see we've entitled today's show as Demonstrating Truth with Scientific Certainty. So why did you pick that particular title and topic for today's program?
Well, last week in projections for 2020, which is now this year, we had talked about demonstrating divine law with scientific certainty, which is really what we are aspiring to with our teaching. And so I thought we'd kick off the year with the idea of demonstrating truth with scientific certainty.
So we're talking about the function of union with the divine in the demonstration of truth. So what is the function of union with the divine first?
Yeah, without your connection to spirit, the analogy that we used in the opening was it's kind of like a computer without the internet, that a human without recognition of divine presence is missing something. Just like a computer without access to the internet. And the thing is that the actual appearance of the computer doesn't reveal the simple fact that it doesn't have this capability. And the same is true with the human appearance. We can look at a human appearance and it doesn't necessarily tell us whether we are acknowledging the presence of the divine or we are lost in the belief that we are a separate entity.
And then we talked about union with the divine in the demonstration of truth. So first of all, what do you mean by demonstration, and then what is truth?
Yeah, demonstration, what we're talking about is to be able to express divine presence in our external experience. The Bible kind of tells us, well, how do we know that what we're doing is the truth? And it gives us the clue when it says, by the fruits. So our external experiences, the circumstances and situations in our appearance, in what we are calling life today, must have these divine qualities. Because if it doesn't have those qualities that reveal the perfection of being, then chances are that we are disconnected from this truth of being. And we are in this false sense that we are separate from it. By us being able to demonstrate this divine presence, it's kind of like a litmus test that you don't really want to mistake the impermanent for the permanent. You don't want to think that you are a mortal creature. And at the same time, you want to know that you are immortal spirit. By fidelity to this new identity that transcends the limits of appearance, it actually has a huge effect on the external appearance. And that was the message of the Christ. And Jesus was the manifestation of that, and he would prove it with his miracles. He would demonstrate this divine presence. And it's not something that happened 2,000 years ago that is unique for this particular incarnation that we call Jesus, but it is a principle, it is a divine law that is accessible and available to each and every one of us right here, right now.
I want to get back to the analogy about the computer without the internet. I mean, I can remember having a computer without the internet, and the computer worked just fine with the programs that was on it, but I can remember the first time I logged onto the internet, what an enhancement to the whole computer experience. So liking that to what you're saying, when we have this connection to this divinity.
Right. When we become conscious of the truth that we are an eternal spiritual being, the truth that there is but one divine life, there is one divine mind, and we live out from that revelation, it has a huge, profound effect on what it is that we're experiencing in this appearance, in this, and what we have learned to call now this false sense of who we think we are.
Which leads me to that next phrase that I'd like to break down a little bit, and that is, truth dispels error as light extinguishes darkness. And of course, truth we're talking about with the capital T, with what you've explained to us already. But also, I want to talk about error, and what exactly is that?
Yeah, it's quite a shock, and it was a shock to me to find out that the error is what is appearing in your senses. It is the appearance of this mortal, finite, corporeal body that I think is me. It's a very difficult, or it was difficult for me to assimilate that and to be able to understand it and then eventually to start to rely on it and demonstrate. But the way that it became more and more clear to me, what C.S. Lewis would say when he was asked about this concept of God, and he said that he never thought it possible to have a personal relationship with God, in the same way that he never thought it possible for Hamlet to know Shakespeare. Mary Baker Eddy uses the term that man is God's reflection. And so the more I worked with these phrases and terms, and the more I started to process it until it started to become clearer and clearer to me. It reveals itself to you. This idea of reflection, and in one of our shows, we talked about the reflection in the mirror. Now, any one of us knows that what is appearing in the mirror has no life, no truth, no intelligence, no substance, that it's not real. But we think that the image that is on the mat before the mirror is real. Now, what we have to do is we have to take that back and look at it from a different perspective. We have to understand that man is God's reflection. And just what Mary Baker Eddy meant by reflection was mind considering its own content. So we are to God what Hamlet is to Shakespeare, is the way that I started to understand that. And the more that you start to realize that what is appearing in the mirror isn't real, and in truth, what is on the mat isn't real, because it is simply the divine idea. It is the divine thought about. And so the origins become spiritual. And as you start to live out from that perspective, as from that level of understanding of yourself, it has a profound effect on external circumstances and situations, because you are now what we will call in the truth of your being. You have now realized that this physical appearance, this corporeal physical body, isn't real, that it is just a reflection. And then you shift your awareness from this personal sense, this human mode of thinking, to your divine knowing, that you know that you are not Hamlet, but you're really Shakespeare, that you are not a personal individual, but you are a reflection of divine mind.
So if I look in the mirror and I see myself as Lisa, that's an error. If I look at my next door neighbor and see that person as something separate from me, hence separate from God, that is error.
Right. And that's what we mean, that truth dispels error as light extinguishes darkness. And the more you work with these terms and the more that you start to understand these concepts and the true spiritual meaning of them, then you start to see that the only power really is found in light. Darkness isn't a power. When you enter into a room and you turn on the light, it dispels the darkness. When you leave the room and you shut off the light, there's not a alternate power. The room doesn't get filled with this black, inky kind of mist. It is just that there is the absence of light. And so you start to understand that error, or things that appear as error, don't have power. It's just the absence of the truth.
And let's talk more about the truth. And let's break down a passage that we have here from Mary Baker Eddy from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, where she says, truth is revealed, it needs only to be practiced.
Right. What does it look like to practice truth? To know that spirit is all, and all is good. And then she also tells us in Science and Health on page 142, let it be understood that success in error is defeat in truth. And it's one thing to be working with belief and human thinking and to make the human experience appear better. But to understand the government of divine law is beyond all rational understanding. And for most of us, we're very happy with just getting more of the pleasures and profits of the human experience. But for those of us that want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, it doesn't go far enough.
So just to clarify, you're saying that we need to be conscious of truth.
Right. To be conscious of divine love, divine presence, this truth of being, is to be in that place where divine law reveals itself in appearance. It's not just something that we talk about, or believe in, or hope we are right about, as a demonstrable principle. And that's what I think Mary Baker Eddy was really striving for with her cause. She really said that this absolute demonstration of science must be revived, that we must really understand how to demonstrate this principle with scientific certainty. That it's not guesswork, it is a demonstrable science, just like the computer is a science, just like mathematics is a science. It has a formula, it has a procedure, and that's what we are immersing ourselves in, so that our aspirations are for this year to be able to demonstrate this divine principle with certainty.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'd like to get back to the Mary Baker Eddy quote from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 174, and that was, truth is revealed and needs only to be practiced. So what does she mean by it needs only to be practiced?
Right. We really have to go from knowing to doing. It is not the words, it is the works. The other part to that that we talked about was, let it be understood that success in error is defeat in truth. That what she is talking about is demonstrating a spiritual law. She's not just talking about healing a condition. And in a work that she had done called The Body, and I'll read a quote from it. It seemed a wonderful thing when advanced thinkers began to perceive certain mental laws to apply them to the healing of the body. This mental teaching is that man is the builder or creator of his body, that he builds or forms his body through his own thought, that he can change his body through his thought, and therefore that if he has built a sick body with wrong thinking or ignorant thinking, he can build a well body with right thinking, that by his ignorant, inharmonious thought, he prevents God from manifesting, and by his true and harmonious thought, he brings God into manifestation. All right, now she discovered something. Working with human thinking, we're working with the changing conditions of the personal mentality, but what we are neglecting is the changeless state of being, the divine mind, the one life of this universe. And so as you start to immerse yourself in her teaching, she's really talking about forsaking all modes of human thinking for divine knowing. And that's what we're talking about here, is demonstrating truth with scientific certainty. We're not talking about positive thinking, which is something that I think we were kind of caught up in before, that we were working with the changing conditions of our personal mentality. What we have discovered and what we have been using in our teaching now is understanding these modes of human thinking, we're working with the same schematic that we were working with prior to my experience that happened, where the Kriya Yoga that I was teaching wasn't demonstrating divine law. I was in a condition. I was unable to walk for 3.5 years. And turning to all of these other modalities, scrambling, trying to figure out why what I was doing wasn't giving me the return that was promised. Learning that we must forsake our human thinking, the changing conditions of this personal mentality, was an upgrade. To understand that we were using the mutable signs, Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, were the three modes of mortal thought. that we actually have to come out of. And Pisces is divine mind. It is the divine idea of creation. It is the word of God that they talk about in the Bible. For us to know this to be true becomes a whole different mode of thinking. And at the same time, it demonstrates a completely different external appearance, because the same formula that we have been working with prior to this understanding didn't change. How we think is what we become. But if we continue to work with the changing conditions of the personal mentality, if we continue to be individualized from world thought, then it's like a computer that's disconnected from the internet. It has limitations. But if we can figure out that we are the reflection of this divine mind, this truth of being, and we allow it to express itself through us, we become that place where divine presence expresses itself through us. It has this profound effect on our external experience. Because again, how we think is what we become. But to let divine mind take over the government of your being externalizes a completely different picture than we could ever imagine on a human level.
So we forsake all modes of human thinking for this divine knowing, but it goes further than that, though, right? We can't just think that we have this divine knowing because we intellectually understand this truth that you're talking about. It has to go deeper than that.
Right. You have to be able to demonstrate it. And I really like what Mary Baker Eddy said in Science and Health on page 238, where she says, to fall away from truth in times of persecution shows you never understood truth. All right. Because I was a perfect example of this. Here I was practicing the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga and marketing myself as one of the healthiest, happiest people I knew. And then all of a sudden, I find myself in this condition where I couldn't stand up, I couldn't walk, I had absolutely no strength in my legs, and I had all of these symptoms in my physical appearance, and I was scrambling. I was turning away from what I was working with, how I was thinking, and primarily because it wasn't working. And what she's saying is that you never understood truth. And now I grasp that. Now I understand what she's talking about here. When she says to think with God as God shows you the perfection of your body. To basically call yourself a Christian scientist, you must be able to demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty. Otherwise, you are merely a wannabe. You want to be a healer, but you're really not working with the principle. I also think that in Revelations, where it is written in 1:3, blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So you can't just read this. You really have to go beyond reading. You have to hear it, which means you have to understand it. And then you have to keep it, which means you have to practice it. You can't just talk spirituality. You must demonstrate it in your life. And the message of the Christ is really to heal the sick, reform the sinner, raise the dead. For you to really understand that truth, then your life becomes a demonstration of this Christ principle, this mode of thinking, this divine knowing of this truth. Because the message of Christianity for the first almost 300 years was healing the sick, reforming the sinner, raising the dead. It really wasn't about creating a church. It wasn't really about donations to an organization. It was demonstrating this truth with certainty. That's what we're really trying to create again, or recreate, or revive, is this movement, because that's the message of the Christ. And what we have said in other shows, the Christ is the saving principle of truth.
There's a word that comes through in my readings that I come up with quite often, and that word is atonement. And I think it could be applicable to talk about that with this topic today. And I was wondering maybe if you could help break that word down for us.
Yeah. And what I found is that in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, there's an entire chapter on that, breaks it down into at-one-ment, which is what we're talking about with union with the divine. It's when that revelation comes to you that you are the reflection of this one divine mind. You are the divine idea. You are a thought in this divine mind. What does it look like when we are governed by the divine law of life? Because it's very different than the law of karma, which basically stems from a belief in two powers. We have a belief in good and evil. We're in a divided consciousness, and it's very different. We're thinking humanly. Now we are accepting the changing conditions of a personal mentality. But we're in the trap. When you analyze it, that's what Kriya Yoga really is all about. Now, whether I didn't get it from my teacher or I just didn't understand what it is that they were teaching, but for me, it wasn't demonstrating. And when I incorporated the teachings of Mary Baker Eddy with what it was that I was working with, it dovetails. The information is there. Everything relies on hearing. You know, you can say it, but to understand it. And you don't know if you understand it if you're not demonstrating it. And that was where it really became apparent to me, this whole thing of putting healing on the table.
And that reminds me of the quote that I had said earlier in the summary from the Miscellaneous Writings, when she says, a healing that is not guesswork, but instantaneous cure. Is that what you're finding is what people might be doing now, is they think that they're doing healing, but they're really not. It's guesswork.
Most of us are still working with positive thinking. We're still working on the human level, and we're working with belief. But when we are doing this, we're still under the law of karma, the law of reciprocity. What we put out is what we get back. We're under material law. We still have a belief in matter. We think the body is real at that point. We think that spiritual power is something that we can call upon to help us improve this human experience. It doesn't work like that, because spiritual work is found in revelation, and revelation of this truth. God's creation is perfect. It's right here. It's right now. And what we need to do is attune ourselves to it. We have to link to that divine presence and acknowledge it in order to activate it in our experience today.
Well, we do have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And then once you're there on the homepage, you're going to see a fading banner. If you want to click on more of these shows, you can click on when it comes up with Blog Talk Radio, and that will bring you right to the whole list of the shows that we have. And I think we have right around 299, I think. And don't forget, clicking on online classes tab will get you access to Swami's free webinars Wednesdays at noon. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to wish everybody a happy new year and encourage people to join us. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.